Let's take our Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 2 tonight. Philippians chapter 2. Without him, how lost I would be. They saw this morning, and ended this morning, with Jesus is enough. He's enough. We've been looking at this topic of, I totally forgot an announcement, and the kids are gone. It was for them. Okay. I'll tell you what it was about. Anyway, now you're wondering what it was. Last Sunday, we had potluck, and we had all kinds of, flies, bees, wasps, whatever out there. And so then yesterday, I put up a wasp trap, and oh boy, you should see that thing. That's just full of both live and dead stuff in there buzzing around, and they're all slowly dying in there, and I'm thinking, this is great. And that was very effective. I went around the property, and I was looking. I couldn't find a wasp nest anywhere. So I thought, what do I do? I said, it's got to be something around here. So I thought, well, if I'd make it a contest for the kids, if any one of them could find out where the wasp nest is, the first one, I'd give them a music CD, a song, children's song CD. So now they're gone. I'll have to talk to them about that later. But
kind of a dangerous quest.
Well, I know it has to be a little bit cautious. I don't want anybody getting stung, but I figure just to find it, pinpoint it, not destroy it. We'll get a different adult crew to go do that. And
those kind are underground.
That's where we have to be very careful. Yeah, I figure. But somewhere you got to see these things coming or going. And I was looking in all the trees and I didn't see anything there. Of course, I'm sure I didn't look in every tree, but I was looking for the obvious. So just trying to get rid of this. I would figure there's millions of acres out there. They don't need to be near where people live. Amen. And I got a little bit figured out there. So just trying to be careful with what we have. I know they've tried to build nests in the front porch and they've done all kinds of things. We've chased them out of there. So we'll just have to stay on top of things until we get rid of them for good around here. So.
But how many places out there in those millions of acres have tables with meat and sweet things and stuff on them?
I don't know. I've never looked. That's right. They come wandering in from how far away, I don't know. And that's for sure. If I was a wasp, I'd want to come to one of our potlucks too. So that's for sure. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're looking tonight, as we're abiding in Christ, we're looking at the way of renewal. The way of renewal. And we see here in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." As we conform to the image of Christ, we will have a greater desire to do God's work by his power and for his glory. And I must recognize that God is the reason that I'm here today. He is the one, the only one, who will transform me into the image of his Son. He tells us in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Let's have prayer first of all. Lord, would you, first of all, I ask for the filling of your Spirit to speak what you would have tonight, that we would see that there can be renewal in our lives, and we need this continually. We need the Holy Spirit to control us. We need your power in our lives. And I pray you would help us as we study your word. Also be with the children as they have their lesson there with the Glow Bible Club. Thank you for them singing. And I pray you'll bless them in a great way. And be with those teaching there as well. And I pray now you'd open up your word to us here in Jesus' name, and amen. A person once said it like this: "I finally got in touch with my inner self, and they're just as confused as I am." A lot of times people are thinking that where the source of their help is going to come from is inside of themselves. If you stop and think about it, it really doesn't make any sense. But then a lot of teaching is, well, inside there's this little inner spark. You know, I don't know where that teaching came from, but it's not Bible. But getting to know yourself and others better will not bring a life of change. The key to a renewed life is getting to know your Creator, getting to know God. One of the things I find that as you sometimes you say, well, you read through the Old Testament and there's a lot there. You know what we learn from reading through the Old Testament is we learn the character of God. So that when we arrive in the New Testament, we're reading this, all of a sudden you'll be reading the New Testament and it'll make so much sense because you already know God's character. This is what will help us. The more we spend time in God's Word, then the more this is going to help us to know our God. The first thing we have to have is the desire for revival, for renewal in our lives, a desire for this, that God creates a will to know Him. He says here in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." That God creates a will to know Him. And He places within each of His children a desire to know Him. Now, He mentioned earlier in verse number 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so we know that we're thinking about what He is like. Now, in Romans 7:18, He says it, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Now, we're just studying in Romans on Wednesday, and we're looking in chapter 3. He starts off with, you know, there's none good. There's none that understands Him. And we know that within ourselves, there is no good thing. Now, in Romans 7:18, He says, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, He says, I find not." So as he's writing there, he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, I want to, but He says, to will, to do what God wants, He says, that's present, but how to perform or how to work out, as He says here, to work out our own salvation, how is this performed? He says, that is where the difficulty lies. So what was Paul stating in Romans chapter 7? That its flesh hinders him from doing that which is good. As much as He saved us, and He's making all things new within us, there's still that flesh in there that would desire to do just the opposite. There's a French proverb that states, "A good meal ought to begin with hunger." And I thought, why is it that everything tastes better when you're hungry? I don't go grocery shopping with my wife very often. And when I do, I make sure that I've had something to eat before I go. Because the cart would look quite different. In a similar fashion, our spiritual hunger. We must empty our fleshly desires. We must have a hunger to know Him. A hunger to know Him. There's a story told about one spring. There was a family and they were driving across Florida. And as far as the eye could see, there were orange trees. And they were loaded with fruit. And the husband's telling this story, and he says, "We stopped for breakfast." They've been driving quite a while. He says, "And I ordered orange juice with my eggs." And the waitress said, "I'm sorry, but I can't bring you orange juice. Our machine is broken." He says, "At first I was dumbfounded. We were surrounded by millions of oranges, and I knew they had oranges in the kitchen. They were on people's plates. You know, garnished on the side there." He said, "What was the problem?" He says, "It was no juice. Hardly. We had lots of juice. We're surrounded by thousands of gallons of juice." The problem was they had become dependent upon a machine to get it. Sometimes as Christians, we could be like that. We can be surrounded by God's Word. We have multiple Bibles. I mean, you could hope you have a Bible on your phone, on your computer, right? And you've got a hard copy in your hands. We can be surrounded by this, but if something should happen to their church services, there would have no nourishment for a person's soul. The problem is not a lack of spiritual food, but that many Christians have not grown enough to know how to get it for themselves. This is very important, that there's a will to know Him, but we have to remember that the church is definitely a part of that, but we also have to know how to dig in and get something for ourselves. So Brother Bill put out this challenge about this verses on God's will on earth. And what is that? That's going to be a challenge to you to dig into the Word of God there and look for that. Where do you find that in the Bible? And I hear this many times. I'll talk to someone and they'll say, well, you know, certain thing in their life needs to be there or shouldn't be there. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But I said, where do you find that in the Bible? And I've heard many, many times over the years, well, you know, it's in the Bible. I'm like, wrong answer. You have to know where it is. We have to be able to show it. We cannot, as Christians, just say, well, you know, it's in the Bible. We have to know where things are in the Scriptures. So we find that God creates a will to know Him, and then He leads us to know Him. And we talk about this hunger. Of course, Matthew 5, verse 6, there in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. So He says, those who will hunger and thirst after God's righteousness, He is not going to deny them. It's going to be there for them. Now, in Romans 8, 14, He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So there is a leading in our lives, and we know that the Holy Spirit does that leading. So what does the Holy Spirit lead a believer? Well, we would say very, very quickly, it's the Bible. Okay? Now, does the Holy Spirit ever lead a believer in Christ contrary to the Scriptures? Ever? Can the Holy Spirit go contrary to the Bible, to the Word? He cannot. Now, there will be times that there may be something that you have a decision about where it's not laid out in the Bible, thou shalt and thou shalt not, right? So you're going to need some prayer, and you're going to need probably some counsel, some direction. But under no circumstances are we allowed as Christians to go contrary to the Bible and say, this is what God wants me to do. Now, I've run out of how many times I've heard people say, they usually don't ask for help. They just say, this is what I'm doing. I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah, and this is, I really believe this is what God wants me to do. And it's contrary to the Scripture. And you can wave as many red flags as you want. Their mind is made up. They're not teachable. I'm thinking the Holy Spirit. It uses words in the Bible not to grieve the Holy Spirit and not to quench the Holy Spirit. I don't want to make anything up, but I think the Holy Spirit is just plain frustrated. Because He says, I've given you my word, I'm dwelling within you, I'm pointing you in the right direction, but you are stubborn on purpose to go contrary to God's word. Besides, are you really going to be fulfilled, joyful in your life if you go contrary to God's word? Mm-mm. Hey, for a while. But what is the end result of knowingly? Now, maybe sometimes people don't know and they need to be taught. But I find many times people are like, nope, my mind's made up. This is what I'm doing. I'm thinking, how can you pray like that? If you're praying and you're seeking the will of God, big question mark, Lord, what do I do here? And if you pray that, but your mind is already made up, are you really asking? No. I remember as a child, I'd want to do something, so I'd go ask my parents, and they'd say no. But my mind was made up, I was going to go do it anyway. You know what that is, right? My kids are all over there, so I tell you, I was disobedient. Yeah. I know, pretty shocking, right? My sister would tell you many more stories. But what about in our spiritual lives with our Heavenly Father? If we pray and we ask and then our mind is made up, we're going to do it anyway. Is it any different? That's probably worse against our Heavenly Father. So the Holy Spirit is not going to lead us contrary to His word ever. Now, what? Here's a question here for tonight. What prevents a Christian from wanting to know God? Let's talk about this tonight. What prevents a Christian from wanting to know God, to know His will? know what God's will is in their life. What prevents them? They're living in sin, okay? Is God going to direct you if you're not walking with him? The answer is no, he's not going to do that. What else prevents a Christian from knowing, being able to know God's will? What else? So we know that, yes?
Fear.
Oh, fear. Yes, because he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So a lot of times I may pray, Lord, I want to know your will in this area. And next thing, it's like I'm afraid. God's going to make me go as a missionary to Africa. And I'm all a fear. Well, I don't know why we pick on Africa, but we do. Okay. It's always like I'm going to have to do something that just I'm just too scared. So I don't really. I love God. I'm saved. You know, I'm fine. But am I really seeking God's will? So fear will do that. Any other thoughts on that? What else will? Yes, Daniel. Pride. Oh, that's a really big one. You know, I've got this all figured out. I'm not going to surrender my will to the Lord. We wouldn't say it like that, but that's really what's happening on the inside. And that pride is taking over there. And we know that, you know, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So it's going to destroy. It's going to bring destruction into our lives. So we're finding that there's things that is going to prevent us from wanting to know God and what his will is. So any other thoughts on this? What else? Let's go to Lori there.
Something we may want, whether it's a spouse that's not the one God wants or a job or something.
Okay, so I've got my, kind of like my mind made up. I want this. I'm going to make it happen. Very good. What else do we have there, Bill?
Well, I've already made up my mind.
Made up my mind. I'm just going this direction. Yeah. Bob, what'd you have?
All of the above come from Satan.
Yeah. So putting that in there. Yes.
How about
the cares
of this world? The cares.
Okay. And we looked at those riches this morning, how that becomes the focus. And I've, choked on the cares of this world, like the parable shows us there, right? And so, yeah, those things have started to consume me. And it's not going to happen. I've got to put him first.
How about Martha with her service?
Okay. So she was serving. And Mary was listening, and Martha was so wrapped up in that, I've got to do this. And it was a matter of priorities there. Nothing wrong with serving. Fact is, it's a big part of our lives, right? But there has to be a priority there. There are certain times for instance, in my own life, that there are times that I know I need to be preparing to be here at church. I know I need to be preparing my heart and my mind, and I could be at home and I say, but I still have this job and this job and this job. You know what I've come to conclude? Those jobs will be there when I get back. Yeah. I have to just determine where my priorities are. That's what God has given me. And I was at a very early age when I determined that I was going to serve the Lord, and whatever that meant. I still remember as a boy, as a teenager, my dad was an usher in our church. And so I was always early to church. I just thought that was normal. I didn't know any better. Okay? And I realized that, you come early and then you're ready. How many of you have ever rushed into a place at the last moment? If you have an appointment and you get there at the last second, huffing and puffing, I made it. How do you feel about the appointment? Right? It's like, well, at least I made it. But now we're talking about something more important than a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment. We're talking about something that you're talking about your spiritual life. So if I don't put the priority on my spiritual life, hey, you call it what you call it in your life. If I think something's important, I'll be there. I'll make it a priority. And I see around here, so many people have. It's important. And so what are we saying? That we're wanting that part of our life to know the Lord. And we find that in which direction does God work? And he works within. And there are ways that we can abide in God's strength and knowing his will is that we have to be able to empty the flesh and fill with desire to know him. And so we need to be able to, as we find here in Philippians chapter 2, It says there about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, God hasn't asked us to humble ourselves to the point of going to the cross, but he has showed us that humbling, that's an emptying of ourselves so that we can know him. Well, it's our part is to hunger after righteousness. But if I fill up my life with the things of this world, the fleshly things, and all I know is the world's music and the world's movies, and the world's language, am I going to hunger and thirst after righteousness? No. Fact is, I'm not going to care about righteousness. In order for me to be hungry, if I may use that illustration, I have to be what? Empty. And so he's saying, take this out of your life and let me fill with the right stuff. Hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness. So first of all, there's that desire for renewal. And then there's the part where we seek for renewal. In Psalm 105 verse 4, he says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. And we've mentioned this before. There's a point of, you know, looking to the Lord. And you'll find throughout the Psalms, he'll tell us that we're to be seeking God's face. But we know that a lot of times we're seeking his hand. And that's not wrong. But why are we seeking his hand? We're seeking what he can give, what he can provide. And that's because of my needs. But there has to be a time of seeking his face. Right? That we want to know him. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So he's telling the Israelites, they've come out of Egypt, and now he's saying, if you're going to seek him, you're going to find him. You're going to seek him with all your heart, with all your soul. So when we're seeking for renewal, we're seeking with determination. The Christian life is not effortless. It requires that we seek God diligently, and he promises to reward our seeking. Every man and woman was created as a passionate being, but they cannot be passionate about both God and the carnal, fleshly things of this world. It's not possible. We go back in Scripture, and we say, you know, Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters. He doesn't say it's hard to serve two masters. He says you can't do it. Just cannot be done. Says he will hate the one or love the other. He will hold to the one or despise the other. So he's saying, we cannot do this. Let me ask it this way. How many of you accidentally got saved? You say, that's a silly question. You didn't. But after salvation, sometimes we can slip into that mode where we think we're going to accidentally grow spiritually. It won't happen. Now, sometimes you'll be surprised by your growth. You'll say, wow, look what God did, right? There's always the element of surprise because, hey, God did that for me. You know, that's amazing. But just as you did not get accidentally saved, you had to have some determination on your part. You wanted to be saved. Amen? It wasn't like, oh, well, yeah, I guess so. I've had people like that before. You know, do you understand your need, you know, your sin before God and that you need his forgiveness? I guess so. I'm thinking, no, you don't. Now, I don't want to be rude and say, no, you don't. But it's like, let's go back through this again. Let's look at some other scriptures. Because it's the word of God that does the convicting. So I'm like, okay, where do we need to go here? Because God's got to do this. Because it's not a, well, yeah, whatever. Or nor is it accidental. We do this on purpose. We were seeking for that. And God did not burglarize your will at salvation, right? He will not bring renewal to the Christian who is, as we saw in the book of James, double-minded, because then we're unstable in all our ways. So he says, no, it has to be done on purpose. I remember when I got saved, I wanted to be saved. I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew enough to put my trust in the Lord, and I knew where my sin was taking me. I said, yeah, this needs forgiveness. And I've seen this many times in my life. There has been periods, we'll call them times of renewal or revival, and you're making decisions and you're asking God to work in your life, and you know that He is teaching you something. You're at a crossroads point in your life, and what a blessing that is. And every time that comes about, there is a determination there to follow the Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm listening to you. Yes, Lord, would you work in my life like this? I'm surrendering this to you. There's a determination. It's never, you know, it's not like a, well, yeah, whatever. No, there's a real determination there. Very important. Not only are we seeking for renewal with determination, but also with devotion. In Deuteronomy 6:5, he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So there's a devotion there to the Lord. Psalm 34:10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." So he's showing here a devotion. The emphasis is not about seeking more principles. Most of us know more principles than we can apply, but it's about seeking a person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what is the difference there. Hymn writer wrote, "Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see." And that song, "Take Time to Be Holy." Beautiful, beautiful song. Read about the shepherd one night when the storm was fierce. He was counting his sheep, and he had gathered into the fold his sheep, and he found that two were missing. Going to the kennel where his shepherd dog was lying with her young, he pointed to the wilderness, which was ever growing darker, and said, "Two sheep are missing. Go." She looked a moment at her little ones, then up into her master's face, and hurried away into the night, came back with one of the sheep that were lost. The storm had grown fiercer and the night darker, and the shepherd came again to his dog and, pointing once more, said, "One sheep is missing. Go." Looking down once more into her little crying ones and up into her master's face with mute despair, she arose and hurried away. Hours passed by, and the shepherd heard a scratching at the door. Going forth, he found the dog, and she had the sheep that was lost. Leaving the same at her master's feet, she staggered back to her little ones and actually fell dead at the kennel door. The author said, "When I read this story, I said, 'Oh, the shame of it.'" His words were, "Here is a dumb brute with never a thought of God and never a hope of heaven, obedient to her master's command. When he speaks but a word," he goes on to say, "and we have permitted our master with nail-pierced hands, spear-thrust side, and thorn-crowned brow to plead and plead again. And we have refused to do his bidding. Let us catch one glimpse of his face anew and go where he would send us." So that dog is just trained to go. And we have a master, we have a heavenly Father who loves us so. And when we think about serving him with devotion, we've said it before, but there's no sacrifice too great for the Lord. You might say, "Well, I'm content with where I'm at in my life." But maybe there's an area of devotion that he's yet to call you to, that he wants you having a desire for renewal. He wants you to be seeking for renewal in your life. And then, because we've talked about abiding in Christ, we need to be abiding in renewal. How do we do this? How do we abide in this renewal? Well, one of the first things that we have to do is we have to abide in fellowship. A carnal believer goes to church, gets a small dose of God, and then lives like the world the rest of the week. We know that God should be at the center of everything that we do. We were talking about this in our men's Bible class this morning about how we honor God in everything we do. And sometimes, as we were looking at this, it was mentioned, sometimes it's just the absence of worldly things out of our lives that shows our light shining. Now we have to abide in fellowship. And we've seen in John 15, verse 4, before he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me, Christ said. So there's an abiding there. A husband and wife may abide in the same house together, have common goals and mutual interests, yet that does not mean that they're experiencing oneness and closeness. Okay? God says it's not enough for us to attend church, have mutual religious beliefs. He wants us to enjoy fellowship with Him, and that is open and clear. So there's a fellowship with Him, and then if we're abiding in fellowship, there'll also be a fellowship with one another. Amen? There's a oneness, there's a unity. People are going to be fellowshipping together. So if we're abiding in renewal, there's a fellowship. And it's first of all, of course, with the Lord, abiding in Him, spending that time with Him, having that oneness with Him. Again, I'm going back and I'm yielding myself to Him. Not only do we abide in fellowship, but also we abide in joy. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. Over to 1 John chapter 1. And 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. That we abide in joy. And this is not a frivolous happiness or a giddiness. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So he's talking here about this fellowship that they have between themselves. And he says, we have it with the Father. And of course, we have it with the Son. And then he says in verse 4, and these things write we unto you that what? That your joy may be full. Now, many of the Christians in the early church period didn't always live in places and have circumstances that necessarily made them happy. This is written, of course, John is the human penman here. In a little while after writing this, he is going to be exiled to the Isle of Patmos. That's where he's going to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. But living alone on that island, was that going to be a real joyful place? I would say not. I would say that as we read through this, and as they were no doubt reading this to the other churches and believers, they were saying, what, that our joy would be full? Yeah. So God invites us to abide in Him constantly, to include Him in every decision, call on Him for every need, trust Him for every provision, follow Him in every circumstance. He desires to be with us all day long, constantly transforming, renewing, and shaping us into the image of His Son. Yet He leaves the choice to us. You ever notice that God doesn't force you to spend time with Him? You ever had somebody that just forced you to spend time with them? How does that usually feel? Or how does that usually go? Not too good. No. And when they leave, it's like, they're finally gone. Oh, shh, don't tell anybody. Yeah, they're gone. Oh, my brain hurts. I got information overload. But you know what? Your Heavenly Father has never said that about you. When you're finished praying, He never says, glad they're done. You finish reading your Bible, you know, God doesn't say, phew, glad they finally closed it. Spent enough time with them today. It's exactly the opposite. He says, what? You're done praying already? I'd like to hear a little bit more. You want to spill out your sorrows one more time? You want to tell me how your heart aches? Just one more time. You want to tell me about your burden for that lost family member? Tell me one more time. You want to lift up your voice and praise my name? Did you do it one more time? You want to pray for your church? Would you do it just one more time? Would you tell me their names? One more time. And He's never told me that I've said too much. Though I've complained to Him He's listened. Just, he listens as much when I praise him as when I complain. And then my complaint turns into pleading. And he listens. And when it's done, my joy is full. I wouldn't recommend you do it, but if you've ever poured out your heart to another person, sometimes it helps a little bit. And if they're close to you, that's good. Husband to a wife, wife to a husband. Sometimes parents, a child to their parents. Then that can be helpful. But don't you ever pour out your heart to another person until after you poured it out to the Lord. Wants us to spend that time with him. What is God's plan for spiritual renewal? Well, he says we need to have a desire. We need to learn more of Christ. When applied, your life will change. So we need to have a will to follow God. Where does that will come from? Is it just that some people have more of a desire than others? No. Well, maybe that's part of it, but it's the Word of God. It's what changes us. How are we strengthened is by God's Word. How are we kept is in His Word. When your heart is aching, you go to that book of Psalms. You need wisdom, you're in that book of Proverbs, the book of James. It's going to help you. We have to realize that God renews the desires of a surrendered Christian. There's a renewal. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, I just don't have that same feeling that I had when I got saved. So sometimes I say, what was the feeling? A lot of times it's the peace they had. Maybe it's the excitement that they had. How will that be renewed? Surrendering to the Lord. We have to understand that God leads a Christian who desires His will. I don't believe that God will play hide and seek with us. If we're truly, you know, desiring Him and saying, Lord, I want to know Your will, then we're going to spend time with Him. And you can't demand Him and say, Lord, I need to know Your will right now. Now, sometimes we have decisions to make, and Lord, I need to know Your will about some specifics today because this is important. But there will be many areas of our lives that we're going to have to wait upon the Lord. Begin pursuing God's presence personally with devotion, being devoted to Him. That we take the daily areas of life and saying, this is what God has designed. You say, but they're just the everyday physical things. They're human. Yes. Is God interested in those things? Absolutely. I have plans for tomorrow. If the Lord wills. If the Lord allows that. And if I'm working in my yard, then I want everybody in the neighborhood to know that I'm working in my yard unto the Lord. That I wouldn't do anything there that would bring disgrace to my Savior. So that every area of my life, we can easily say, well, when I'm preaching, I want to honor God. Or when you're teaching, you want to honor God. But what about in the daily mundane things? Pursuing God's presence. And seek God's strength through daily fellowship with Him. He will provide that. Discover God's joy by spending more time in His presence. Spending time with Him. Salvation is more than an escape from hell. It is that. But now it's more than that. It is living a transformed life here on this earth. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. In Philippians 2:13. we ask ourselves, am I doing His good pleasure? And then I start looking in every area of my life. Because we're Christians 24/7. Amen? This is not my Sunday smile. This is not my Sunday language. And tomorrow I'll have a different set of words. Or a different attitude. Now we do different things. That's for sure. I'm definitely not going to dress like this when I go to work on the yard tomorrow. But don't work. The clothes will change. But the inner man, I can still fellowship with him when I do other tasks. When I'm not sitting in front of my Bible. When I'm not exactly there with my prayer bulletin. Praying over our missionaries, I'm still fellowshipping with Him. He is that vital part of my life. Let us bow in prayer. My Father, I thank You. And I ask for each one of us here today that tonight there be a renewal in our lives. We can have this on a consistent basis. That we would not allow Christian life to grow stagnant or mundane. But that truly, as Your word says, that we enjoy fellowship with You and that our joy may be full. Not a giddiness. We're not living some sort of frivolous life where everything is happy. But we know that You put within our hearts a peace and a joy that can only come from above. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of the testing, Lord, may we be found faithful unto You. May our priorities be right before You. Oh Lord, would You help us? We know that there is a world that wants to pull us down. We have an enemy in Satan who really wants to destroy our testimonies. He wants to put us to shame. But Father, You've told us that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Oh, that this would be the case. Would You help us, Lord? So, Lord, help us to make right decisions this evening, that where the Holy Spirit shows us there's an area that needs to be renewed, that we would listen to You, that we would be Christians who would be yielding and submitting ourselves to You on a regular basis, that as we would desire to know Your will, that we would truly walk with You. When we gather together, we'd hear good things of how Your will has unfolded for us. And we've heard praise to You tonight already. And that's been good. That's been refreshing to know that there's an awareness of what You're doing around us. Then there's been a lot of needs represented. Lord, we're thankful that we can come unto You and You never tire of us. You never just put up with us. But when we come to You clean and pure, sins confessed, that You're there for us always. Oh Lord, would You help us? And I pray this in Jesus' name tonight. And amen.